This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc. And, Michael, we have a special guest.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have Susan Bourgeois, who is Oh, man. Is that a minority? Okay. Noah, why don't you just go for it? Okay.
That's not me.
Everybody, Susan.
Warming up. So thank you for handling that for me.
Susan,
I couldn't help but do that.
And Coleman participated. But go ahead, Michael.
No, I was just going to talk about her being fantastic and forward-leaning and Partrick-centric and results-oriented and the great transformation at LED, but I guess you still have to tell that herself.
Never
well,
mind,
now
right?
I won't shush you anymore, right?
Susan Bourgeois, thank you for joining us, LED Secretary, in spite of all of the shenanigans that we do on the front end.
Right. Everyone's a little punchy today, I see.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, and we hope that you have
y'all
a great
well.
Holiday
thank
season.
You.
So, Susan, we just come out of the tax reform special session. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, I heard a little bit about what y'all were talking about, but I think, first big picture, which is where I sort of want to start, is one of the things I have been saying since I took this opportunity about 10 months ago is that more than anything, Louisiana needs a narrative change, right? We have, in many respects, we have gotten in our own way as it relates to telling the story of opportunity here and really getting out of our own way. And so from a big picture perspective, I would say this really gave us a very significant step forward in that narrative change, right? When we started this process, Secretary Nelson and sort of brought to me and the governor and a big team of people early on the concept that if we do these things, we could potentially move from the bottom 10th, which is where we are in the Tax Foundation rankings, to dramatically higher. The way we launched the package, it would have gotten us around top 10. The way we ended up now will still be very, very strong. And so that narrative change is critically important as we go out there and sell Louisiana. So that's the big picture. All the details, which I know y'all have talked about a little bit, and we'll keep talking about them for the next half hour or so, they're important as well. But the narrative change is what I'm grabbing most right now.
I agree with that, by the way. I think it's an opportunity to talk about it in a positive way. So I apologize, but I do agree that that's the 38,000-foot win.
Would it be fair to say that what we did actually was a tax swap as opposed to a tax cut?
Well, I guess that's all semantics. And if you would say because we are, for the most part, by all hypotheticals we've looked at, revenue neutral, then sure, then that is one way to describe it. But I would say it was really it was a change in the way we do things and a change in the way that we have the ability to create a bigger pie. That's what we kept saying over and over again, is that when we went through these conversations, we wanted to be very careful to not just keep talking about slicing up the same pie and how we were going to slice it and how we put policies in place to create a bigger pie. And so the fact that it's revenue neutral, sure, technically, I guess you could say it's a tax swap, but in reality, this is a major restructure, and I think that is a very fair assessment of it.
How do you deal with local government? That's where I come from, and as the tax collector, I was very sensitive about what the ceiling was going to be for local government relative to sales taxes, and when the state decides to go out and consume a penny. That obviously reduces the ceiling for local government. We now are the highest sales tax state in the country. How do we square that up? Because, a lot of the mandates that come out of the legislature, obviously, if that are unfunded, that are placed on local government. If that was eliminated, it wouldn't be as important, but that's never going to go away. And we're going to have a real difficult time, I think, for local government being able to stand up and stay ahead of the curve with the ceiling dropped. I mean, there will be little or no appetite to go add to this sales tax number, which on average in this state now is going to be right around 10%.
So, you know, there's a lot in what you just said, Noel, and you, as you prefaced it, you know very well, coming from local governments and coming from your role in Jefferson Parish, the power of the process we've created. And when I say we, I really mean Huey Long, right, where local governments mm-hmm. rely very much on state policy and coming to that building, right, and either asking for the ability to manage their own budgets in different ways or fighting to retain it. And I think a lot of what we did this session begins, and I'm saying begins on purpose, right? Begins
right.
to get us all thinking in a way that we have to train us all to be different. We have to, you know, the way we started talking about this process early on is that, you know, we're still very much living under a tax code, or were a tax code and a tax process that Huey Long created 100 years ago, and we have tweaked ever since. We haven't philosophically or fundamentally changed it. And I think this session we went a long way, and you again well know the amount of, you know, sheriffs and local government who were very represented in this session and made sure their voices were heard and their concerns were alleviated in some ways and not in others. But we have to start that process, and I think we did here. And I think we have to continue to make that call that local governments need the ability to create budgets that serve them, serve their people, serve their constituents, serve themselves. But that shouldn't all be a reliant on Baton Rouge, and it certainly shouldn't be driven by Baton Rouge. And that's a fundamental change for Louisiana, and it's not going to happen in 1-2.5 week session, but we went a long way.
Well, but the most fundamental change that other states have come to the realization, Michael pointed it out before, when you talk about property taxes in Texas, there is a state property tax. The state of Louisiana does not participate in property taxes at all. You know as well as I doubt very seriously whether there's ever going to be a political appetite in this state to change that. It's just not going to happen. And that is really the elephant in the room. And we try to shift that responsibility and burden and blame local government, but this is all about at the state level. And the only way that any of this is going to end up balancing out and getting us to where we think we can get relative to no state income tax, get the corporate franchise tax gone, reduce corporate taxes, and all of these issues that all add up into huge numbers with inventory tax as well, is the state has to get into property tax field, and they're not going there. In my view.
I'm sorry. I want to defend your honor for a second here. I agree that one avenue, not that he's defending, I think that one avenue is the state getting into the business of property taxes. The other is just the burden of property taxes shifting more to the local parishes and just increasing property taxes in exchange for lower income taxes, right, which is what I think happens at the Texas level. But that's, again, it's politically, that's a huge lift, because
that's not at the local level. They have a state property tax. We don't. And that is the fundamental difference.
Local level. Well,
yeah. If we do it at the local level, it goes to the locals. I mean, not the state. That's a difference. They have a local property tax and a state property tax. We don't. And that's a huge
number. But we have
these
things like the inventory tax that are about shifting there, that are backdoor ways of getting state resources to local parishes. So there's a dependency on Baton Rouge that, like Susan said, that Huey Long set up a century ago. Anyway, I'm sorry, Susan, but I'll hang up with your answer.
But the point is that on the balance sheet, the only big ticket item out there that they can really go grab that's going to make a significant impact and oomph is a state property tax. We all know it. We don't want to admit it. We don't want to talk about it. But that is the number. And we're always going to have these exotic schemes and taxing to work around the fact that there's no appetite to do so. Plain and simple.
Well, I think a lot of what you said in the last 10 minutes sort of feeds both the lingering argument, but then the prospective argument, which is, you just said, this is, you know, where our sales tax is, it's not going to make us an outlier. Does it make us the highest in the country? Yes, but we're not an outlier. Tennessee is at almost 10%. Arkansas is at almost 10%. Alabama is at 9.3%. So it's not as though we are such an outlier in that regard. Don't love being first there, but we're not so much of an outlier that it's dangerous, right? But to your point, everything that we do here in Louisiana, and, you know, it's politics and it's this way everywhere, maybe a little bit more Louisiana here than in other places, but there's always a constituency, there's always a sacred cow, there's always a, there is or isn't going to be the political appetite to do something. I agree with everything you're saying. You know, the homestead exemption is the issue, the property tax is the issue, the how we fund local governments, all those things are issues. The amount of our sales tax, issues. And, you know, I saw it in this session, and I was incredibly impressed by it. There were some constituencies, if you will, that I don't want to say stood down, but there were a lot of folks affected by what we did in the last 2.5 weeks. You know, I believe the greater good was achieved in all of this. But there were a lot of people who were pulling at the rope to make this better in general than better for them. And that was a different feeling than I've been around on an office legislature for a very, very long time. And that was a very right. different feeling. And I think the legislature handled that remarkably well. And it was different. Was it us to Iowa? No. Sorry, Iowa. But was it different? It was.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. I mean, because I, like you, not recently, have spent a lot of time up there. On tax issues through the Jindal years, and, you know, represented local tax collectors and engaged in these debates over what is the best way to address this situation. And it's rare, I think you would agree, Susan, that has happened up there. So that's encouraging to hear that.
Yeah, you know, it was a different process this time. It still had lots of shades of how we do it and how we're used to doing it. But it was a different process.
Yeah, so, and that's not this administration's fault either, you know, and I just want to make that clear. These are hands that these administrations are dealt, and I'm glad you brought up that it goes back to the Huey Long days that set out a structure that, you know, was encouraged, like I said earlier, these exotic taxing schemes to get around things because, you know, the appetite for the revenue because of the deviations and the lack of stability in oil and gas in this state, and, you know, the challenges that flow out of that. All right, we'll continue this conversation when we come back. We're visiting with Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., as well as Susan Bonnet-Bourgeois, LED Secretary for the State of Louisiana. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. We're back with President and CEO of GNO Inc., Michael Heck, as well as the LED Secretary for the State of Louisiana, Susan Bonnet-Bourgeois. Susan, I'm sure you're already hearing from folks as the results of this most recent session. What are you hearing?
We're hearing, our world is, from a 9-to-5 basis, is all business, all industry, you know, a lot of site consultants who do the work in this space, and we've already gotten several phone calls from the people around the country who pay attention to this saying, what have you done? This is big. How can we learn about it? You know, we're in the process of scheduling a bunch of Zooms with people around the country to tell them about the changes and what it means. And that's wildly positive, right? We were already getting some attention not as a department, but as a state because of the governor's insistence on restructuring the department and how we really go about economic development in Louisiana. And now they're paying heightened attention because they want to know what we just did. And they want to really talk through it. And a big piece of what we're going to do in the upcoming regular session, you know, we have the ability now as a department and a state to reimagine our tax incentives to have them align with our newly the strategic plan that the the restructure is allowing us to get to. We can really align. Where are we incentivizing companies and industry to come here? Where does Louisiana have the most opportunity? And the folks around the country paying attention want to know what we're doing here, and they're paying attention.
How much of what you're hearing of what's going on potentially at the federal level with the incoming administration align with your strategy here? It seems to be, in some respect, complementary.
Gosh, it's complementary with several, you know, exclamation points. It's really the perfect storm of a policy and a philosophy here in Louisiana that got coupled very well with what happened in the election in Washington. Because, you know, Louisiana, I've said this for 10 months since I took this job, Louisiana is incredibly, incredibly well positioned on the energy front to really take advantage of the global change in the way we look at energy, right? And it doesn't matter whether you call it an energy addition, an energy transition, whatever that piece is, the world is looking for opportunities and processes that they believe are cleaner and better, right? So that's a sort of a global posture that Louisiana has a competitive advantage at. Now you couple that with President Trump, you know, at 3 o'clock in the morning on the night he got elected, putting his stake in the ground, reminding everyone that America is a fossil fuel based country, and he intends on creating policies that enhance that. It was just that next level win for Louisiana, because obviously that's been our sweet spot for a long time. So I think, you know, purely from a positioning Louisiana perspective, a Trump administration coupled with a Landry administration is going to benefit us very well. And I just think there's some natural alignment regardless of the politics. There's some very strong natural alignment around the policy.
No doubt. And I think it is broader than fossil fuels, though, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. It's that, you know, perhaps had the election gone in a different direction, fossil fuels wouldn't have been on the table quite as much. We wouldn't have been talking about that. And Louisiana still has a tremendous opportunity in all things energy addition. It's that we just have the ability to do what we've been good at for a very long time and make it better and stronger and grow it. And then if you also couple that with new technologies and innovation and the other pieces that we as a state are going to be working, but what I believe, I mean, I hate to predict, it's a risky business, what's going to come out of Washington, but what I believe is going to come out of Washington, I just think Louisiana is really well positioned to take advantage of how our policies and federal policies can align.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope that you have a great Thanksgiving holiday. Keep up the great work. And if you would indulge me just one time, would you, for me, please, just shush?
Don't know,
Michael. There we go. You got one.
It's like grabbing a cat at the nape of the neck. It just settles me down instantly.
Well, I'm told that you're the only one that was able to do that, Susan.
Well, no one tried hard enough, apparently, but yeah, it was worth it. Thank you all.
Absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thank you for joining us. Truly appreciate it. Michael, real quick,
happy
final
Thanksgiving.
Thoughts. All right.
Well, you know, I'm thankful to be doing economic development in the region, in the state of Louisiana at this moment, because I think it's going to be a tremendously fun and productive end of the year and then years coming up. It feels like we're really back in the game in a really significant way. The stars are aligned, and so we're shooting for them. So I'm just thankful for everybody who's involved.
Well, thank you for joining us. Have a great holiday season, Michael, and we'll talk to you soon.
You too, Neil. Have a great one.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.